You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, joined by Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live, via live stream from Italy. So, yes, it is a kindergarten. And if you recall, we learned quite a bit of valuable information in kindergarten. I think we're going to do the same here because the teacher of this kindergarten is our Blessed Mother. And Pope Francis, our beloved Pope Francis, states, quote, in the School of Mary, she teaches well the ABCs of our faith, end quote. So we'll try to continue that and allow Our Lady to do the teaching. And Jesus says to Louisa, get out of the way. So we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do. And we're going to begin with a supplication. And the supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And again, in gratitude, we are told in the Book of Heaven, in gratitude was the greatest pain that besides the loss of all souls, or those souls, greatest pain that Jesus' humanity suffered and continues to suffer, I think, in a certain respect, because again, as we're extending God's humanity through the gift of living divine will, we have to be thankful. We have to have gratitude in everything we do. And I think a lot of times it's missing where, you know, how do you get out of this busy world? It's like, you know, how do I get off this ride? It's going so fast and it's never stopping. But through the grace of God, he can do it. You know, I was thinking, sisters, what is the divine will? And I was just saying, you know, basically God is wrapping up everything. 6,000 years of assistance through grace is now being organized and explained by God himself so as to define unequivocally truth, because it's truth that's going to unite us, and truth, nothing but the truth, again, not through the truth of man, but through the truth of God. And I think man must realize also that he cannot explain everything. I remember Pope Benedict had an audience of bishops and cardinals, and he says, we cannot, as a church, explain everything. Some things are unexplainable to the fullest extent they can be. So we have to leave that to faith. And I think faith plays a great part in the divine will. And it did throughout all of Jesus' ministry. Remember, every time someone was healed, he said, it's your faith that has healed you. Right, Sister Magdalena? How are you doing?
That is so, that is so right. it's very beautifully put together. And also, Peter, when you said about what is the divine will, it reminded me at one time we were in Ireland and there was a lady who asked, well, it was specifically basically what is the difference between the divine will and the Holy Spirit. And I would just like to expound that a little, because this is the same question I used to have this question. What is exactly the divine will? How is it different from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And it really took me a little while to think to really arrive at a point to have a little understanding. I would not say a full understanding, obviously, because I cannot contain my mind to the mind of God. But this is, what is divine will? What is the difference between God and God? Well, me at this moment of my meditation, it seems to me that divine will is the essence of God. You know, it's not, divine will is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, three divine persons, but one God. But then the divine will is the essence of God, because it is thing that God is all about. You know, I think of divine will, like, for example, as a human being, as a creature, if I live in the divine will, that doesn't include just my soul, that doesn't include just my human will fused in the divine will, so that my human will is now lost in the divine will, but it includes my acts. it includes my humanity, because my humanity is part of the divine will. Not that I am not, I'm not God, but God became man through the incarnate of Jesus, the incarnation of the Word through Jesus Christ. So, and Jesus Christ is not less than God. He is God himself as well. He's equally the same as the Father in divinity, and also at the same time 100% human. So to me, to make it short, basically is the essence of God. And if anybody else has an opinion about that, Peter, please feel free, but that's what I thought.
No, I think it's a wonderful thought. And again, just to realize that, again, the Holy Scripture, the gospel, what was given to us by God through men. The greatest differentiator here is, again, not putting that down even a slight bit, but the divine will, the book of heaven, is God presenting himself. There's no ambiguity. There's no question. I mean, yeah, he'll speak in sometimes cryptic language, which again forces us to unveil what exactly he's saying. Because, you know, again, he's using our vernacular, but our vernacular is very limited. That language of heaven, that definition of what Jesus and Mary are saying, that is so important. That understanding only comes through grace. We can't learn that like we do English, Tagalog, and French. It's a language known to heaven that can be given to us if we desire it and through God's grace.
Also, Peter, I understand that the internet, well, I'm sorry, but just if you know that our mic is coming on and off, our voices, it's because we have poor internet connection here, but just to let you know.
Okay, yeah, we noticed that. We'll pray that everything doesn't get worse. I mean, I think it's manageable right now, but hopefully we don't have a time when we have to disconnect, but we'll just pray. Right, Sister Gemma? Praying is always good.
Yes, right. And we pray to the angels, actually today we at lunch, we were listening the power of the guardian angels, of the angels that surrounds us, and the power that they have and they can help. So we pray that all our guardian angel and all the guardian angel of all the listeners that can hold internet for doing this program.
Yeah, and you know what, sister? They're actually our guardian angels waiting for work to do. But again, yeah. It's very kind, is very considerate, is very compassionate, and to a certain extent is docile until brought into a fight or into action. So we have to call on the angel. And, you know, just to remember every day, Lord, thank you for sending my angel, a guardian angel. Thank you for being with me. Let us now do our divine acts throughout this day. You know, again, remembering our angel, it's not easy sometimes because we try to remember all these things. But again, the more we sort of force ourselves to do it in the beginning, as we've spoken about on other programs, it becomes natural eventually. And then when it becomes natural, it'll eventually become second nature. And then eventually that second nature will become our nature. So it's a progression. And again, God's grace can take that from A to Z in a split second. Otherwise, we're going to have to go through the process. But just remembering, the discipline, I think, is just something that I'm not good at, but we just need to try to be better. Sister?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like a gym. It's not like the gym day and you can do all the exercises that you're supposed to do. No, maybe the first day you do just few, and then by the end of the month you are able to do everything. And this is exactly the same in a spiritual life. You start slowly, and then by the time you realize it, that you are calling all the saints and the guardian angel and doing all these acts and rounds in the divine will, it's exercise, and we need to exercise our human will.
That's brilliantly put. I've never heard an analogy of this being a
and
gym.
And also doing acts.
Mary's gym.
Yeah.
There'll be another program, Peter. You can make that one. Mary's gym.
That's enough. Mary's
Mary
gym.
And Mary's gym.
How do we exercise the divine will? We do it in this metaphorical Mary's gym. Wow, that's great. Thank you. I keep interrupting you, but you keep saying these profound things.
No, please add whatever you need to add. But also doing acts rounds in the divine will. We need to exercise. Be the first day, the first week is not easy, but then if we keep doing it, it will become easier and easier. And then it will become so natural that we don't even realize that we are doing acts in the divine will. In fact, today I was reading something about acts in the divine will, and Jesus say, acts done in the divine will have a creative power, and one act done in the divine will multiplies to infinity human but divine seeds. An innovation in the spiritual world occurs, and such harmony that all are attracted. In hearing this harmony, those who are most disposed get warm. Thousand and thousand of effect arise like many seeds. And since the act done in my will carries the creative power with itself, it fecundates those seeds in a way which is incalculable to infinite minds. Therefore, the acts done in my will are divine seeds which carry with them the creative power, and which more than suns not only fecundate, but create seed and multiply them to infinity. So doing acts in the divine will, even though we don't see anything, we don't feel anything, we create a lot of good effects around us, and not even around us, even maybe on the other side of the world that we don't even see. If we really want to for someone, and sometimes I ask myself, okay, I need to pray for this things and these other things, but which it's the most powerful prayer, what can I do? But doing acts in the divine will, it's one of the most effective prayer that we can do. And then you don't help only that person, that situation, but automatically you help everything and everywhere. These acts go everywhere and everything, like the sun. It's only act that it's up there in the world, in the sky, that you don't even see. If you have to describe it, what do you describe? It's just a circle things that it inundates light, but it's not only that. It goes all over the world, and it has so much power. And this is the divine will. The acts in the divine will, they're simple. They look like you are not doing anything, but they're very, very powerful.
Yeah, I love how our Lord says, if you would ask the sun, what does it do? It would respond, I only do what my Lord wants me to do. You know, it's I still like that, Jim. We need to, again, this gift needs to be exercised. You're right. And again, it's just going back to that same analogy too. You know, we have to, if it's difficult for us, if it's hard finding time, we must make the time. Because again, the more we do it, you know, the repetition will help us understand. And what is it also doing as we strive? And again, this is that martyrdom, you know, where we're trying to move out our human will, or trying to use our human will to exercise it, to defer it to the divine will. And this is a constant battle. That's why I think Jesus calls it the martyrdom of martyrdoms, because again, we can't escape this. But knowing it is a battle, it's against, you know, 6,000 years of moving away from God, I should say, away from thinking continuously and constantly of God, to now bringing that back. And we know anytime you try to swim against the current, it's very difficult. Try to drive a car 70 miles an hour and then stop immediately. You can't. It's gradual. So this whole transition that we're doing, we want to slow down the old and then accelerate the new. And then God's going to help us. He's going to give us traction. Again, recognizing we cannot do this by ourselves. This is a gift. It's a mystical gift given unequally to anyone God chooses, to whatever degree he chooses. It's not given to us like our baptismal gifts, which are given equally. This is different. This is spiritual. This is way beyond what we're accustomed to and what we thought we would receive. This is everything. And God is doing it right now in our lifetime. Sister?
Yeah, on that train of thought of the gym, I like it very much. And now I have to think about the gym. You know, when you go to the gym, you have to go in a regular schedule. And then you have the instructor, and you have the, you know, I'm sure there's probably procedures also to go with it. So our instructor is the divine will, and the writings of Louisa is sort of kind of like the rules on how to do it. But we have to constantly go in there, because in this gym, there is a relationship. And so when in any relationship, there's got to be a continuous, you have to carve out time. You really have to make time for this relationship to work. So if you wanted to learn about the divine will, to be able to live it and to be able to make these acts and rounds more, more of an automatic, no longer a work, but a part of our life, is to make it more, make it available all as much as we can, basically practice, you know, just like learning a new skill to dance or to play a musical instrument or to become stronger, to go to the gym. I mean, it requires practice and we need to do it often. Now, Sister Gemma talks about acts and rounds, and it just happened that I opened to the today. My meditation is on September 14, 1901. And basically it talks about how to live, how to do acts and rounds in the divine will, but it's not specifically, but it just says here, the beginning and the end of our actions must be the love of God. So basically, when you do acts in the divine will, it needs to begin in the acts of love and ends there. Also reminded me, today we had a funeral. Was it today or the other day? Yesterday. And I look at I prayed for this man's acts. I took all of his acts while he was leaving, and I brought it to God, offering all of his acts from the time he was conceived to the time of his death. And I took it upon myself, and I put my, I love you, I glorify you. And I just talked to God to basically repeat what these acts, this man had done in his life. And I took it and I prayed. So that was basically, I was doing acts and rounds for his sake throughout the mass, while paying also attention to the mass. This is what Jim was talking about earlier, you know, helping the poor souls in purgatory, or even angels, all of these creatures, by our acts and rounds done in the divine will, it affects everyone. And so I'll go ahead and read this passage that I would like to share, doing acts that begins and ends in love. So September 14, 1901, after going through various days of privation today, as I was about to do my meditation, my mind was distracted in something else. And by means of light, I comprehended that in going out of the body, the soul enters into God. So this going out of the body, I was thinking someone who died, perhaps, you know, I can't help but think about that man. And then, but since God is most pure love, only when the soul is a complex of love, then does she enter into God. In fact, God receives no one into himself if she is not completely similar to him. And on finding her similar, he receives her and shares all of his qualities with her. Now this, I pause here because we talk about living in the divine will. Is it possible to happen in our lifetime now? Do we have to wait until we die to do this? Is it possible for us to achieve this or to be in the divine will even as a living now? So I continue. So we shall be in God beyond the heavens, just as we are inside our room here. So I thought again, heaven. So of course, beyond heaven, I only always think of myself, when I die, I want to be in heaven, and I'll be floating in heaven, and I'll be enjoying God's vision in heaven. But then here, beyond heaven. So I think in my little understanding here, it seems to me that since God created heaven, then we have to be beyond heaven. Because if you want to be in full union with God, then we can be bigger than heaven, not on our own, obviously. And even though we can live in the divine will, Louisa said, even though she lived in the divine will, she still cannot comprehend all of God. And so, and then she even used the example here, inside the room. So we enter into this room, enter into this gym, if you say. Now, it seemed to me that this could be done also during the course of our lives, so as to spare the fire of purgatory to the toil and ourselves the pain, and therefore be introduced immediately with no interruption into our highest good, God. So if we can only live in the divine will, we don't even have to suffer purgatory. I mean, this is what it says here. It's very clear, you know, and so I continue. It seems
really, really quickly. I mean, we all believe that, and we know it's true because Jesus says it. But yeah. You know, I was just thinking, I'm going to start chuckling. Can you imagine if we're speaking to somebody who's never heard the divine will?
Yeah, exactly.
And the first thing we tell them, you know, if you study the divine will and you achieve it and you obtain it, you can avoid purgatory. I mean, they're probably going to walk away, if not run away.
Yeah, exactly.
From you. So this is something for those who understand what's happening here to a slight degree. I just love the fact that he's given us these progressional truths, but that's when I get a chuckle. That or the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. Yes. I mean, again, what's greater? The divine will is the Eucharist. What's greater? Yeah. 15 minutes of the divine will or a perpetual divine will? Of course, the perpetual. So again, everything in moderation, everything explained, everything under the circumstances, as our Blessed Lady says, but I just had a chuckle at that. Thank you.
So there's a lot more here. So it is possible. It is possible. But then he said, it seemed, and this is Luisa, she said, it seemed to me that the nourishment of fire is wood. I think this fire is the fire of love, because it talks about begins in love and ends in love. So I think the fire represents love here. So the nourishment of fire is wood. And the sign to be sure that the wood is reduced to fire is that it no longer produces smoke. If you remember in the other readings, smoke are those, you know, passions, you know, our human inclinations that are not necessarily of God or for God or in God. Now, the beginning and the end of all our actions must be the fire of love, the fire of the love of God. See, the fire of the love of God. The wood which must nourish this fire is the crosses. There you go. You know, it's not a magic, like if I just live in the divine will, believe in it, I'll go straight to purgatory. But it does include crosses, which is our sufferings that comes the way, which is very important. And fire is the crosses, the mortifications. If I remember this correctly, in some of my readings, mortifications is pretty much the suffering that we voluntarily accept. You know, it's not something that is given to us passively and, well, I don't have anything else to do or I can't help myself. I might as well just, you know, accept this. No, it's something that with our human will, I desire, I will embrace this. I will accept this for the love of God because it is good for me. Okay, so I continue here. The smoke that rises in the midst of wood and fire is the passions, the inclinations which often peep out. So these are our passions in the human flesh. I think this is basically because our passions are sinful passions, sinful. Everything is usually coming from the flesh, the desire of the flesh. And also, you know, pride, arrogance, you know, a lot of times this pride and arrogance and all these sinful thoughts and our being usually is fed on by our desire of the flesh. So I continue. So the sign that everything is consumed into fire within us is that our passions remain in their place and we no longer feel inclination towards all that does not regard God. So I was thinking, the passions remain in this place. To me, it's like, you know, the passion is never going to go away because for as long as we are in the flesh, there's always this temptation. For example, the desire to do, but at least they stay where they are in the flesh. But the spirit is now more powerful than the flesh, that we can command our flesh to say, well, you know, I'm not giving in to you. I know you desire that, but it's not from God. It's not God's will, and it's not good for me. Therefore, I command you, flesh. I have the power over you now because my spirit is strong. I can tell you to stay where you are, and it's not going to affect me. So to me, this is my understanding. To stay where they are, they don't go away because we have this body. But if our spirit is strong, because it's no longer our spirit doing it, but the divine will, it's no longer our human will, when it's overpowered by the divine will, then we can command our body to say, no, that's enough. Stop. I don't listen to you. I'm not giving in to you, to your whims and all these demands.
Yeah. And sister, it's before you continue, that's a great point you made there. I want to make sure we understand that. It's as if God is crowding out those negative inclinations. And I remember remember baptism, the Holy Spirit, it crowds out original sin. It doesn't remove it as if it never occurred, but it takes it out of the way. It replaces it. And that's what God's doing also with this divine will, what you're explaining. It takes all those things that are going to those near occasions of sins that we're all tempted with. He's going to reduce those to the fact that we're not going to be tempted as much. And when we are tempted, we're going to be strengthened.
Yeah.
Again, process, this grace. We need grace. God's always been giving grace. We've just been stopping it through obstacles and sin and just, you know, unattentiveness, a whole myriad of things. Please continue.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then also, Peter, we don't even feel sad. We don't even get affected by those anymore. So I continue here. Yes. So the sign that everything is consumed into fire within us is that our passions remain in their place and we no longer feel inclination towards all that does not regard God. It seems that with this, we will pass freely with no obstacle to dwell inside our God, and we will come to enjoy even here now paradise in advance. So it is possible, and I only have like less than 2 minutes, I guess, here, but I have to include, if you have time to read volume passage April 16, 1900, because it does tell you how to enter into God. It comes like a three signatures to be put in your passport to enter into God. And these are perfect resignation to God's divine will. Second, profound humility. And third is obedience to God, obedience to the authorities God given us. So these are the three important signatures. If we want to enter into God, if we want to be purified, also make sure that our sufferings is very important, our mortification, our really active participation, like fasting and praying and kneeling and taking time to go to the gym to pray, gym of divine will, that's what I'm trying to say, to really do acts and rounds. If we do that, it's really going to help us. It's really possible. And it's not magic. It does require our participation.
Right. It's not magic. You're right. You know, there's so much there to comment on. I don't have time for it all. But, you know, you're talking about the wood. And Jesus also explains to Luis and to us that the drier the wood, the faster it's engulfed, the faster it burns away all those negative and sinful inclinations. Also talking again, Sister Gem, sorry we keep beating up this gym, but I really like it. You know, with the gym, there are certain things you must bring to that gym. Otherwise, you know, usually management will not let you go on the floor, you know, sneakers, the proper attire, you know, things of that nature, and the right attitude, of course. Well, God has the same four things we need to receive this gift. Number one, unequivocally, we must be in the state of grace. Number two, we must have an ardent desire. We must truly want this. Think of this, desire this at all times. We must ask for the gift. God wants us to ask for this with words or subliminally. He wants us to ask him for this. And fourth, but not least, he wants us to, I forget now, ask, have an upright intention to want this gift, not just for ourselves and our families, but for all souls, past, present, and future. Again, this is it. God has given us everything. Hey, I love Father News. He said on his last Radio Maria program, he said, not only is this the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, but it's the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. That's the importance. And we're here. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side, the right side, finally. I'm free.
tables turn. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary, kindergarten of the divine will. And something really important, I'd like to just spend a few moments on, really important. Radio Maria is a private initiative within the Roman Catholic Church, part of a worldwide network of Catholic radio stations. Its mission is to help communicate God's divine love and mercy to all by offering programs that are a source of spiritual and human growth, and they succeed in that. As far as human growth, I'm a little partial myself. I think the divine will is sort of like the steroids of human growth, because it's the fast track. But everything is so important, because everything is so connected to each and every one of us. But it takes money and it takes prayer. So we're going to ask for you, if you can, for both. Please pray for the well-being, for the continuous enjoyment of the expansion of Radio Maria throughout the entire world. And again, if you can, you know, God knows what we can do and what we cannot do. If you can, please, if you can donate financially, every dollar, you know, like the March of Dimes, for example, every dollar you donate, I think 90 cents or so goes to administrative costs, only 10%. 10 cents, every dollar goes to the real source. Here, it's dollar for dollar. Every dollar that you send into Radio Maria is used for Radio Maria to bring the good news, to bring under the pages of Mary, the star of evangelization, to all the world. So if you can, please, just call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. Or you can simply go to radiomaria.us. And again, please give. God knows what you can do, and he's not going to ask you to do for anything you cannot do. Also, we're going to also offer that gift to anyone making a donation, preferably on a monthly basis. Two things. Number one, a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing. And most importantly, the contact information on the back of the card, with which whom to contact once you experience your miracle. And number two, the second, is a I Am Catholic card, which is about the size of a credit card, same thickness, only instead of creating a debt, this is actually going to give you a credit. It has the act of contrition on the back. It's beginning with, come divine will, pray am I praying. And it says, in case of an emergency, please call a priest. I think we should all have this in our wallet. We never know when our job is done on this earth. But while we're here, please, if you can, donate, please, to Radio Maria, 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. You know, sisters, we're talking about everything. And to Jacinta, thank you for coming back from Atlanta. I know you loved your time with your family. You know, the Gospel of St. Luke, you know, he said, you know, as for, you know, John the Baptist said, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. End quote. And there's a whole segment on the baptism of fire. I have no time right now to go into it, but I'm going to place it on the website under the page, baptism of fire. Go to queenofthedivinewill.org and you can find it there. But basically he's purifying us with fire. It's the fire of the divine will. It's the fire of his love, and it's here, and it's for everybody. Hello, Sister Jacinta. Welcome back.
Hello. So I had an amazing home visit. Thanks be to God. Like introducing the divine will to more people that I met, which was a blessing. And what I like to share today is connected with the fire of divine love you just mentioned, Peter. So, and it also connects with what Sister Gemma was saying earlier about doing acts and rounds too, and the importance of it, because really all these acts and rounds we do, as she was saying with that wonderful metaphor, it really is a gym. And the more acts and rounds we do, the more it strengthens us. And for example, the more someone exercises, like physically in the physical world, the less likely they are to get sick. So likewise, we can apply this to the spiritual world, where the more someone does like acts and rounds and like humility, littleness, obedience, patience, just doing everything in the divine will, the more that strengthens their souls to resist the temptations, which are these like germs that want to intrude our souls to destroy it. So the more we live in the divine will, the more we enclose ourselves in the most sacred heart of Jesus, which is burning out of love for each and every one of us. And the more acts and rounds we do, the more it strengthens our souls, kind of like makes our souls like more muscular with like more acts and rounds in that way.
Yeah. Another great metaphor, you know, the more we I can't get out of my own way here. The more we exercise, not physically, spiritually, because remember, we have a choice. If one has to die, the body or the soul, we want the body to die. The soul, we want to be in heaven with God. But the more we exercise that soul, the more fortitude it has, the more protection it has, the more we're moving God also. As we do that, we're moving God. He moves us to move him. This is the reciprocal of love. That's basically another definition of what the divine will is. I'm sorry, I got so excited. Exercise. So we have a gym, and in the gym, you must exercise. I love it.
Yeah, so what I like to share today is from August 2nd, 1925. And Jesus explains to Luisa that the I love you is everything. So in the beginning of this passage, Luisa was praying and fusing herself in the most holy divine will. And she was like placing her I love yous on everything. And she was repeating like everywhere and on everything, these like lullabies of I love yous to Jesus. And then suddenly she had a doubt in her mind that just came up, and it was, what are you doing? You could be doing something else. And then what is your I love you? How special could this I love you of yours really be? And then Jesus, of course, heard this being in her interior. And Jesus asked her, like, what are you saying? How special is for me the I love you directed to me? My daughter, the I love you is everything. The I love you is love. It is veneration. It is esteem. It is heroism. It is sacrifice. It is trust toward the one to whom it is directed. The I love you is to possess the one who encloses the I love you. The I love you is a little word, but it weighs as much as eternity. The I love you encloses everything, involves everyone. It diffuses itself, it restricts itself, it rises up high. It descends down to the bottom, it impresses itself everywhere, and it never stops. So when I read this, it really struck me how like even these little things that we might not consider important immediately, in God's eyes, in the sight of eternity, it weighs so much. It's of such great value. And the beautiful thing is we can place our love yous on everything throughout the day, and not just in the present time we're living now, but since God is outside of time, we can even place our love yous with God doing these I love yous in us. In like the scenes of Jesus' life, like we can place our love yous in the Grotto of Bethlehem. When you're praying the rosary, you can even place our I love yous on each mystery, on each mystery of the Most Holy Rosary, for example. Or even like you can even place your I love yous on each of the future children of the divine will, or like on anything like that, which is really cool. And the beautiful thing about this is you can also do this in a very hidden way, which helps you grow in humility. Like you don't even have to tell anyone that you're like doing acts and rounds of I love yous. Like you can make it very hidden, kind of like our lady did the most simple tasks. But in God's eyes, her acts and rounds were so great because she did it with great love. And that's what God looks at the end and our judgment day, like how much have we loved, not how many things we have done, but like how much love did we do those things, even if they were few. And then Jesus goes on to tell her, "What, my daughter, how special can your I love you really be? Its origin is eternal. In the I love you, the celestial Father generated me. And in the I love you, the Holy Spirit proceeded. In the I love you, the eternal fiat, the whole creation. And in the I love you, it forgave guilty man and redeemed him. Therefore, in the I love you, the soul finds everything in God, and God finds everything in the soul." So reading this really helps me remember the power of saying I love you to Jesus in the divine will.
Amen. Another thing the divine will is, it's the ultimate ophthalmologist. We get to see better. I love this. For those who live in the divine will, everything is in present act, and the soul sees the work of creation with the eyes of Jesus. As the poet William Blake wrote, quote, "To see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, to hold the infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour," end quote. It's all here, mystically presented to us for us gradually to understand. Right, Sister Pamela?
That's right. I completely agree with everything we have said.
I don't think you're listening to me either.
Yes.
I know.
I was thinking throughout the day today, like I just got it in my mind why people sometimes don't really understand divine will, and they even do not go against it. And I was asking Jesus in the chapel when I was doing my adoration, like, Jesus, why do you think that people, you know, they get so not willing to accept your divine will if they already, you know, pray, or they do their faithful, you know, practices? Why, when it comes to divine will, they're not willing to accept it? And I just read a passage from volume 14, March 7th, 1922, and it says, "The words of Jesus are full of truth and of light, and they carry with them the substance and the virtue of transmuting the soul into the same truth, into the same light, and into the very good which they contain. My daughter, my words are full of truth and of light, and they carry with them the substance and the virtue of transmuting the soul into the same truth, into the same light, and into the very good which they contain, in such a way that the soul not only knows the truth, but feels within herself the substance of operating according to the truth that she has known. Moreover, my truths are full of herself being raptured by them." And for me, it was the answer to my question, because I was thinking on if it's all about this position, you know, like, about being disposed of receiving whatever God wants us to give us. And actually, by reading the Book of Heaven and even the Bible, like even, you know, the Word, the eternal Word of God, which is the divinity of the humanity of Jesus, if we are willing to, listen and dispose ourselves, He can pour out His immensity in our soul. But if we're not disposed, even if we read the Book of Heaven, it's not gonna work. because you are just so blocked inside, and your mind is not, like, your heart is not in there. And if you open the book of heaven and your intention is to find, you know, doubts about it, or like lies about it, it doesn't work like that. Like, you need to have the intention of getting to know more about God. And I would say that the more you try to judge the divine truth of divine will, the more confusing it's going to be for you, the more trouble you're going to have to understand it. And for me, it's wonderful how each time you read the book of heaven, even, like, you know, even we were the other day having fun of saying, like, making a rap about divine will, and we started, like, I was in my usual state, you know, because she always starts with that. Even that, like, I was in my usual state is something that God uses as a light to get into your heart and your soul, and, you know, purify you and make you a perfect at how he wants us to be perfect. And it's just something that he really struck me during the day, because I was thinking on that, and then he gives me this passage, and it's all about this position and about love, and about really believing, like, what we are reading, what we are trying to live and make our life, and not trying to look for questions about, is this really true, is it not true? Like, it's God, and God can make whatever he wants, and we are not in the position of trying to go against it, or trying to even discuss or challenge him, because he can do whatever he wants. He's our creator, he's God, and he can do whatever he wants. And we just need to be able, and, you know, humility, even I would say be nothing, because the nothingness doesn't exist. And if you're nothing, you're not on the way of God. Like, he can do with you whatever he wants. And yeah, I think that's all I have for today.
Now, very important what you said about the two opposite effects. Jesus actually says that too in volume 36, May 19th, 1938. He basically says that his truths have two effects, opposite effects. One is light for those giving sight to their intelligence and life of their sanctity and contained in the truths. But for those who are not disposed, who do not believe, do not want it, it is blindness that deprives them. That's really interesting. Second note also, now when you get that rap going, okay, if you could record it, please, we can always make a CD. I mean, remember a few years ago, that sister from Italy won the Voice, right? Didn't she win? I forget her name. So yeah, maybe another fundraiser for Radio Maria. We don't know. What do you think about that, Sister Elizabeth?
Exactly. Yeah, the next time I can rap as an intro. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Yeah. How are you?
Great. No, actually, the other day for the Feast of Saint Benedict, we were at the monks for a meal, and they did this play, Lord of the Rings, in the Divine Will, and it was really hilarious. With a profound message. I mean, how... and it is connected with this sister Pamela was saying, and you know, how the first obstacle, you know, probably you heard many people, you know, when you want to talk to someone about the divine will, like, who has never heard of it. And like for example, I remember the sisters went to that hermit in Italy, a sister that is a hermit, and talked to her about the divine will and all, brought her the books. But she said, and she's a hermit, she said, oh, I don't have time to read it. Like, I would love to, but I don't have time, you know? If a hermit, I mean...
Oh,
you know?
I get it now. Oh, my goodness. but see, sister, that's the amazing thing about this gift. We're, you know, when you look at the book of heaven, we're all looking at the same thing. Why has God, and again, I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but why has God allowed us to recognize this to be something not only spectacular and out of the ordinary, but to recognize that it is everything that God wants us to be? How do we see it looking at the same thing, and the vast majority of individuals do not see it?
Exactly. This disposition that Sister Pamela was talking about, I know many really great priests that, you know, I talk to them about the divine will and all, but it just doesn't seem to, you know, they get to them, you know, like, really. And so this, like, desire, you know, we were saying, the first obstacle is to the desire, you know, when we, like, when we think of someone as an kind of not a friend or not a someone that we love, but some, like, you know, someone that we just see occasionally, like an acquaintance, and that person asks us, oh, come to dinner or something, and we don't really, you know, we were like very indifferent, and we would you know, most probably get with some excuses, you know, okay, I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. I would love to, you know, that's what we do often, you know, with God. And I mean, it's very sad, obstacle for desire. And then you know, like what was in this play Lord of the Rings in the Divine Will, how each of the characters wanted to enter into divine will, but for their own interest, you know, like, you know, without the purity of intention, which was really, you know, important. Like, sometimes we might think, you know, okay, you know,
maybe like, oh, I don't want to go to purgatory, so I'm just gonna read the divine
will. Yeah, exactly. Or like, for example, like we know that God wants us to let go of something, you know, but then we in us, we secretly, you know, like hope, okay, I will let go of that, but you know, when I let it go, I wish that God sometime in the future gives me back that thing, or you know, it's, I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, it can be, you know, very often. And So it is really this, like, genuineness in loving Jesus, you know, really doing everything for love of him. And I was just reading in the volume 33, March 19, 1935. So Jesus is telling to Lisa, "You must know that the divine will and the human will are two spiritual powers. The divine, immense, with an unreachable power. The human, little power, but however little, it has its power. And both being spiritual, the one can pour itself into the other and form one single life. All the power is in the volition, and being spiritual power, it has the space of being able to place inside of its will the good that she wants, but also the evil. In fact, what the will wants, that is what one finds inside of herself. If she wants self-esteem, glory, love of pleasures, of riches, she will find inside of her volition the life of self-esteem, of glory, the life of pleasures, of riches. And if she wants sin, even sin will form its life. Even more, if she wants the life of our will in hers, wanted, commanded by us with so many sighs, if she truly wants it, she will have the great good of possessing our will as life. And if this could not be, the sanctity of living in my volition would be a difficult and almost impossible sanctity. And I do not know how to neither teach difficult things, nor do I want impossible things. Rather, it is my usual way to make easy, for as much as it is possible for the creature, the most arduous things and hardest sacrifice. And if necessary, I place there of mine in order to have that the little power of her will become sustained, aided, animated by the invincible power of mine, and so render easy the good or the life of my volition that the creature wants to possess. And so much is my love that in order to make it all the more easy, I whisper to the ear of the heart, if you truly want to do this good, I will do it together with you. I will not leave you alone. I will place my grace, my strength, my light, my sanctity at your disposition. We will both do the good that you want to possess." So this is really, Jesus is explaining here everything, and it basically, like, really to look at him and to look at his divine will as, you know, our only true love, you know. And he's he is really rendering it very easy, and he doesn't, you know, living in the divine will, doing acts and rounds, it doesn't depend on the circumstances, you know, or the time you have or something like that. You know, you can even, I don't know, finish innocently in jail, you know, and you can live in the divine will and do the acts and rounds, and or I don't know, you can be a president of a state, or be very sick in a hospital, you know, even when you're sleeping in your dreams, you can, you know, be in the divine will. It's really you know, like the ways of God are so much higher than our human ways, and it's
there's no limit in God.
Yeah, not limit, no limit. And he really wants the greatest union with us, not only, you know, only for religious, the priests and sisters, but really with each soul, with each person, he wants to achieve the greatest union.
It's for everyone. It's for everyone.
Right. You know, you mentioned about it's not only here, it's not only there. He says that in volume 11, September 25th, 1913. He's talking to Louisa, my daughter. I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, all circumstances, and in every place. This permeates everywhere. Like you said, the jails everywhere. There's no place that's immune to this, except, of course, hell. You mentioned about the dinner analogy, about making up all the excuses about not attending. And that's our friend. Think about Jesus, God. We're saying no to him. He's taken 6,000 years to prepare our present, boxed it, wrapped it, given it to us. And we don't even take it. We just say no, thank you. Give it back. That's incredible. You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice, a Catholic voice in our home. This has been the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. And truth, Sister Pamela, truth will always come to light. As St. Luke says, there's nothing created, concealed, that will not be disclosed, or hidden, that will not be made known. So this will come out to be the greatest gift that God can give and can give and will give to mankind. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God for everyone. Sisters, thank you so much. Love everyone.
Love you, everyone. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
See you. Mm-hmm.